to encourage one another onwards to serve the Lord. See, Paul was refreshed and strengthened by his fellowship with the Thessalonians. You could see in Acts chapter 18, the moment he had good news from the Thessalonians, this is what the comfort did to him. In chapter 18, verse 5, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was constrained to by the Spirit and testify to the Jews. Before that, I mean, he was like on first gear. When he heard it, he went on second gear, third gear, fourth gear, fifth gear, overdrive. He was constrained. He was so encouraged to do better. And one of the things that we need to do in the body of Christ is to learn to encourage one another. To learn the secret of how to comfort one another. So that when we sit together in fellowship, our dreams grow bigger and our visions grow stronger. It's important that after a good fellowship, we dream dreams, we see visions, and we strengthen one another to do things even better. And number two, we impart one to another. What is lacking in me, you supply. What is lacking in you, I supply. That's the kind of relationship Paul had with the Thessalonians. That every Christian needs to understand that no one is perfected by themselves. The fellowship of brethren is one of the big keys to perfection and maturity in Christ. And then the final point is increasing in love. That we learn to love one another. And love is something that you can never learn just living all alone in a jungle somewhere. Love is something you learn when you're right there on the street with all kinds of unlovable people around you. That's where we learn love. It's important that we, in that situation, we learn love. See, there are a lot of people who get hurt and then they become charismatic. They jump from church to church. The moment they get hurt, they run. They hurt, they run. You know what is the problem? They are looking for love. Sadly, you will never find a perfect church. There's no church that is perfect, not even mine. Which is why sometimes when a strong person comes and they come from somewhere and they join our church and sometimes when they join the ministry, first thing I tell them, I say, look here, not everybody will guard their mouth like I guard. Not all my leaders will say positive things necessarily. And not everybody will be at my level. Understand that in a church, there will be many places. And I say, as long as you do something in the church that is good and from the Lord, as long as you don't hear it from me when He is working for me and under me as associate, I say, as long as you don't hear it from me, you can hear criticism from here and there, and I will probably hear it too, but if you don't hear it from me, you know that everything is okay. Just go on. Because I wanted them to be prepared that when they begin coming, they say, hey, why this thing happened? Why this thing happened? And why is this person saying this and that? Because that's all part of a church that is on the way to maturity. Because imperfect people will react. And they will say wrong things at times. They will say, let out the wrong things. They will do the wrong things at times. So that's all part of the church. It's a family. When your brother or sister suddenly in your family, your blood brother and sister in the family suddenly lose their temper, do you disown them? You don't. Maybe when you were small, your father or your mother, you know, lost the temper at you and refused you the ice cream that you long so much. Do you disown them? And all your children suddenly act up and make you feel ashamed in public. Do you disown them? Although I hear many parents in public, sometimes I hear the father saying to the son one time, and I was just listening, and I heard the father say, you know, you do that. No, I'm leaving you here. I'm going off, you know. Don't want you anymore. But at the end of the day, he still took him home. He didn't mean what he said, and he should not have said it. Right? We don't disown our children because of things that they do. And it's important to cultivate. Charismatics need to understand
how to park their cars. They only learn to drive on overdrive. You can't. You run out of petrol one day, and you'll be on a highway where nobody's around. It's important for charismatics to know that they need to belong somewhere, to a local church. And they're waiting for the perfect pastor. Every place I travel, you know, when I went to Penang, they say, "Hey, why don't you start a church there?" I say, "I can't." Is it because you cannot? Not, I can't because the Lord never asked me. Man over to East Malaysia, say, "Why don't you start a church here?" I can't. The Lord never asked me. See, people want to choose. And they want certain things. But they don't realize that you can't have everything the way you want. Just like little children cannot have everything the way they want. Pray which church God wants you to belong to. This is not a church. This is a teaching seminar. And I know some of you are getting fed and you're taking it as your church. Hallelujah. One day this will end, which is going to end in July 14th. And you will need a local church. I would love to see your nurture and everything. And you'll always be in my heart and be in my prayers. But you need a local church. And if you're waiting for the perfect church and the perfect pastor, then you've got to wait till the second coming. For Pastor Jesus Christ. Because there will be no perfect pastor. There will be no perfect man of God. You try to strive for the best church. And do you know that any person attending any church will always think, if they belong to that church, they will always feel like their church is the best. It's alright for them to think that way as they grow, alright. I mean, if you are belonging to a local church, I mean, you have a right to think that yours is the best. Just like the eye will always think that I'm the best. And the leg will say, "I'm better than you, hand." Right? But what they don't understand when you look at the broader perspective is each church has its emphasis. If you have four legs and no hands, how are you going to eat? It's going to be horrible. Right? God needs all this variety show in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. So some pastors will be very teaching type of church. Some pastors will just be exhorters. Some pastors will climb on their pulpit. Some pastors never move on their pulpit. Right? All kinds. Ask the Lord where He wants you to belong. And flow along with that. Of course, I feel sorry sometimes for the sheep because sometimes it's the pastor's fault. They don't know how to nurture the sheep properly. And for every wrong thing, the pastor bombard them from the pulpit, right? So, I mean, they will drive the sheep away. You can't help the sheep running away. And I have a little parable about why people change churches. See, there was this very skinny sheep. Staff. Inside one pasture. And there's another pasture across there, but there's a fence. It's a fencing that you can see through, see all those pastures. And every day the skinny sheep looking for a way to escape, but couldn't. So he's still under this old shepherd who always beats him on the head and never feeds him, right? And gives him some of this, what grass do you call that? This thorny grass and, you know, all these weeds and not much feeding. So he's starving, his bones are showing through, skin and bones. So he's looking around. One day he sees this little hole in the fence. And he's trying and squeeze. And he couldn't. Because he's still got a little bit of fat. But this bad old shepherd keep beating the sheep every day. Sheep keeps losing weight. And the other side, all the sheep look so chubby and nice, you know. The pastor always feeds them. Now, he's not a tickler of the ear either. He doesn't just preach what they want to hear. He preaches the word. He corrects them when they are wrong. But he gives them the word, feeds them properly. So this poor skinny sheep with all the other skinny ones here, all of them look alike usually. How do you know? They look like their pastor. Right? So there they are. You know? One day this skinny little sheep managed to squeeze through the fence. He scratched himself a little bit. So he's a little bit wounded. But he managed to get over that side. Joins all the fatty sheep. Eats the grass. And then he comes back. Pretend nothing happened. Sit on Sunday. Very nice. The pastor noticed a scratch on his back. Say, what happened there? No, oh, this one all suffering for Jesus. Okay, then that's alright. Gives him a slap. Right. So this little sheep learns how to go to two places at one time. Goes over to the other place or church or seminar, feeds, and then comes here and as if nothing has ever happened. But slowly he tells the next sheep, I can tell you where to get good grass. Before long, a whole group of them go in and out. In and out. And you know why some pastors lose their sheep? They keep going in and out. But something is happening. The sheep didn't notice themselves. They are growing chubbier. One fine day, they get through that side. And they couldn't get back. The hole remained the same size, but their bodies have grown. They say, hey, help, I can't get back. And squeeze as they might, they could not get through. So guess what? They end up that side. That's the parable of the skinny sheep. Why some churches lose their members. And if God called you to plant a church, you have no fear. Just do what God tells you to do. Preach the word of God. And God will bring you the right people. No fear in that. And we realize here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 that there's no perfect church. That in any church, and then this sheep comes over here, realize that hey, things are not so perfect either. Because here, everybody is eating all the time. You got some sheep that are about 500 pounds but with skinny little legs who cannot move. And so you got different type of problem here, right? Over there, they can jump a bit. Here, they cannot. So you got different set of problems. And we need to understand how to flow with each one of those situations. Just be where God wants you to be. Praise the Lord. Chapter 4. On the events related to the second coming, we notice here in chapter 4 of 2 Thessalonians that Paul begins to give some details of what will take place at the second coming of the Lord. Now, this is strictly a Pauline revelation. Although I'm sure the others have the revelation, but Paul was given the most detailed revelation as recorded in the Bible of the second coming of Jesus for the church. And it says here in chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even as God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain after the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The Lord will descend from heaven. We will shout with the voice of our archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So Paul talks about the different things that will happen. He says that There is a resurrection that will take place when Jesus comes again. That's point one. And this is the resurrection of those who died in Christ. It is not a resurrection of their souls or their spirits. Because when anyone dies,
their spirit and their soul goes to be with Jesus, those who are believers in Jesus. Paul said, the scriptures is based on what Paul said in Philippians, that if I die, I will be present with Christ. And when Stephen was dying, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Do not lay this charge on them. And so it's important to understand that. And Jesus was there to welcome him. So when anyone dies in Jesus, they go to be with Jesus in the air, in the heavens. But they have only their...